Hey, folks, welcome to the Camp Constitution Report on Catching Fire News, also on Rumble, and sometimes on our radio show on WBCQ The Planet. And my name is Hal Sherliff, director of Camp Constitution, and I have a great guest. Now, I say all my guests are great, but this particular guest is a former colleague and a longtime friend, and he attended Camp Constitution as an instructor, and we actually hosted a speaking tour for him a few years ago in New England. He is one of the foremost experts on Common Core and the evils of Common Core. He is Dr. Duke Pester. He's a professor of English at the University of Oshkosh, but more importantly, he is the, I believe his title is president or director of Freedom Project Education, fpe.edu, I believe is the website, which has an online, fully accredited K-12 classical education. And we're going to be discussing more about the Martin Luther King issue, but we want to talk about his incredible K-12 program, because there's nothing more activist-minded than parents and grandparents taking control of their children's education. So, Dr. Duke, welcome to Catching Fire News.
Thanks, Hal, and I want to thank you very much for the nice introduction. And
let me get a freeze here. Well, hopefully we'll work this out, but Freedom Project Education is an incredible program. It has, again, as I mentioned earlier, fully accredited K-12. One of my girls took, it's interactive. There are actually real professors teaching classes, and there's all kinds of great topics, but it's classical. I think you learn topics like Greek and Latin and logic. That's something that's really missing in our culture, the concept of logic, because we are being led by emotionalism at all levels of government. Everything is based on emotion. How do you feel about something? And before the show came on, I'm pre-recording this on a Wednesday afternoon, January 18th, which, by the way, is the first anniversary of our U.S. Supreme Court hearing our case, Shurtleff v. Boston. But a hockey player in the Philadelphia Flyers refused to wear a rainbow shirt during a warm-up session because it was Gay Pride Day or Gay Pride Night or something like that. Since most, I think most of the NHL is back home in June. They're not, I think there might be maybe the Stanley Cup playoffs sometime last until June. So they do this because they can do that. So the gentleman, I can't recall his name, he happens to be a Christian, and he said, I'm just not doing it. I can't violate my religious faith. And the left is going ballistic. It isn't that homosexuals necessarily going ballistic, but it's the left. It's all of these mostly white, non-homosexuals that's, oh, this man is horrible, horrible. At one point, I'm 63. I recall when back in the late 60s and early 70s, the argument was, what two consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home or bedroom. There we go.
No idea. Did you lose me or I lose you? What happened?
We lost you, but you're back.
Okay. So and I don't, I where did in, I leave I, off? Where did, how far did I get?
You got about one sentence. So why don't you start what you were saying?
Okay. So thank you, Hal, very much. I'm really glad to be with you today. I loved your introduction. I appreciate it. And you and I have talked about this a lot. Our kids are in public schools, and our kids are being overwhelmed with critical race theory and sexualization and transgender this and environmentalist that. And nothing we can do seems to stop or change the public schools. So in a sense, our kids are in a building that's on fire. And the kick in the pants is the door's open. All you got to do is walk out. There are all sorts of options. We, Freedom Project, are one of those options. We are a complete online school for kids from kindergarten all the way through high school. What's unique about us, Hal, is that we don't send you recordings. We don't send you books or tapes. We have live teachers teaching your kids in real time with other kids in the virtual classroom all across the country and the world. They can talk to the teachers. They can talk to other kids. We recreate a actual classical education classroom for your kids. And if you're just a homeschool mom who's happy teaching your kids, and you want a little help with chemistry or physics or astrophysics or marine biology, these are all courses we offer as well. So you could take a whole year's worth of curriculum for us, or just take one class. And we can go to fpeusa.org, and you can find out more about us, and you can contact us.
Yeah, I want to highly recommend it. One of my daughters took a few courses a few years ago, and one of them was logic. In fact, one of the classes, she came up to me, asked me for help, and I said, this is above my pay grade, hon. But logic is something that I think it used to be taught in schools, but it's been several generations, because we seem to be ruled by people with everything is emotion. Nothing is really logical. I mean, there's so many logical fallacies. They seem to rule the day.
If you taught logic in woke schools, then wokeism itself would be dissected, and then no one would buy it. It's not an accident that we're teaching our kids critical thinking. We're not. It's not an accident that we are no longer doing it. The socialist and Marxist and progressive ideology we're teaching them makes no logical sense. And so the best way to indoctrinate them is to take away courses like logic. Another course that we do that the public schools used to do a long time ago, they don't do it anymore, is economics. If people understood how economics works, really understood that, then nobody would be choosing socialist economics, right? And so the answer for the progressive left is to just not teach logic and just not teach economics. And therefore, we have a bunch of two generations now of completely ignorant kids who are voting for people like Biden. That's the way it works.
You know, interesting, it was Monday, Martin Luther King, we're going to be talking about him and the movement. Joe Biden is speaking at an event in D.C. hosted by the race hustler millionaire Al Sharpton. And he gets into a little thing about banning AR-15s, so-called assault weapons. That's an interesting term. If I threw a rock at you, that's an assault weapon. You see, a pea shooter is an assault weapon. So it's assault weapon is anything the left says it is, right?
But from the perspective of the left, giving somebody a hug who you haven't gotten permission of, that's an assault.
Anyway, he said something to the effect that my right-wing friends talk about, he misquoted Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, where he said that the roots of liberty, the tree of liberty should be watered by the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time, or something to that effect. And he said an AR-15 can't stop F-16. That's like the second or third time. But you see, that seems to be that flies in the face of the insurrection narrative that a bunch of unarmed. Now, there were some people with a few guys had sticks, a few guys had mace, but they were not carrying any firearms whatsoever, that they were going to violently overthrow the U.S. government, change the election, and keep Trump in power. Well, wait a minute now. You're the guys with the F-16s. You're just saying that an unarmed group can take over the government, but the average citizen can't do much because of your F-16s. That right there was a glaring example of a contradiction or a logical fallacy.
And it's worse than that, even Ed, Hal, in the sense that what he's doing is threatening us with the very same thing he said that they threatened us with. So basically, you may have your guns, you may have your mace, you know, you may be wandering unarmed through the Capitol, but you push us, we will send our F-16s. He's basically implying that using an F-16 against the American people is a possibility, and that's pretty staggering.
That's right. Also, I have an AR-15. My son has an AR-15 and an AK, and we have a few others. And we didn't buy these to shoot down F-16s. We did this to protect our household, our loved ones, our friends that come over here. And and of course, nothing in New Hampshire, where we have open carry, constitutional carry laws, you go to a rally, you don't see Antifa showing up beating up 95-year-old World War II veterans wearing Antifa hats. Why? Because most of the people are armed. And they're, you know, the old saying is an armed society is a polite society. But you see that in big cities where they have strict gun control And of course, the politicians support the Antifa types and Black Lives Matter types. So you see those kinds of violent actions. So my AR isn't to shoot down F-16s. Not that I don't think I could. Although those, when I was in Germany, we used to have those, I was in a field artillery unit, and we had those surface-to-air missiles that we end up giving to the Afghanis. But one of those can actually shoot down a fighter plane without too much difficulty, and they're pretty inexpensive. But anyway, we wanted to give out the website again for your Freedom Project education.
That is fpeusa.org.
And you have a whole lot of people that have endorsed your besides Hal Shurtleff, but Ben Shapiro, I think, come on and supported it. Glenn Beck, who, by the way, just came out against an Article 5 convention. He was big time in favor of it. So I'm glad to hear that. But you have other people, too, of some prominence that have endorsed your
Stephen Crowder. We've got Steve Dace. We've got a really broad we're proud to say we've got a really broad number of people who've endorsed us. I mean, we're classical education, which is always a winner, right? Classical education. But we found that the technology is such that we can actually not just give your kids a classical education, but do it in a classroom that has all the perks and benefits of a typical classroom, but none of the drawbacks. No one has ever caught COVID from our online school. No one's ever no one's ever shot up a online virtual school, right? Yeah. So none of our kids have been bullied for sex and drugs. So we combine the best possible education with a 100% foolproof, your kid is safe education.
Now, do you also, I know that a few years ago you were trying to get churches that are closed from, they're closed from Monday to Saturday, sometimes open on Sunday for a Sunday school and a church service, maybe a Wednesday evening services. But other than that, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are shut closed. And I know you were trying to get many schools to churches to use their facilities to host on your online classes.
We still have a partnership program. For the very reason you said, kids are in school 8 to 10 hours a day, every day. Kids are in church once a week, maybe mm-hmm. twice. And so whatever good influence they get in their public, in their church, at the CYO or the Protestant programs for Bible study, that's getting undermined 5 days in a row for hours and hours and hours. And so these churches are typically, like you said, outside of the weekend, they're not used. And they got a lot of space. There's always meeting rooms and party rooms and, you know, reception rooms in these buildings. What if we were able to bring our school, very easy, our completely virtual school, into their churches when the school's not, when the services aren't going on, and we could provide, in a couple of computers or a couple of big screen TVs, we can provide education, so much so that the church doesn't have to hire teachers, it doesn't have to pay insurance, it doesn't have to worry about retirement programs. We provide the teaching. All you do is provide the space, have a couple of moms or a youth minister oversee what's going on, and we can turn every church in this country into a public school. We can do that very cheaply. Private school. But in the times between classes or after or before our classes, pastors can actually have Bible study with kids. So the kids can be getting nourished biblically and also in the academic sense. It really makes a lot of sense.
Now, your program is non-denominational, correct? So a Catholic or Protestant, a Pentecostal can be, parents can say, yeah, we can trust this curriculum. It's not going to undermine anything that we teach our children.
Exactly right. We would be hypocrites if we, as a private school, did exactly what the public schools did, forced our ideology or our theology on anybody. We're a Judeo-Christian school, in the sense that we see the truth of the Old Testament as moved forward into the New Testament. So we are very broad that way. Our kids read the Bible constantly in various classes. Classical education, one of the languages we teach as a classical language is Latin. And of course, when we do Latin, we have the kids translating Bible passages, right? And so they're getting Bible in a lot of ways, but we do not specify, we don't have a particular theology. We believe firmly that mom and dad get to do that, not us. We give them, we have them read the great books of Western culture, whether it's Milton's Puritan Paradise Lost or it's Dante's Divine Comedy. We have them read the good books and let mom and dad deal with the theological and developmental aspects of their kids' spirituality.
So in loco parentis, correct?
Yep.
I know a few Latin words, and that means in place of the parents. In other words,
yeah, we are not. That's not us. And think about this camp, too.
Yeah, like our camp, our week long camp, we tell our counselors, regardless of what, you know, where are we coming from, we want our children, if they're Baptist, they go home Baptist, but more informed Baptist. If they're Seventh-day Adventists, they go home Seventh-day Adventists. If they're traditional Catholics, they go home traditional Catholics, and so forth. So,
amen.
Well, let's change topics a little bit. Just a few days ago was the celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday. And what troubles me is that, you know, first off, there was no question there was racial discrimination. A lot of the laws, not just in the South, but in even northern states, were discriminatory. And there was a need to have these addressed. Not questioning that. Of course, the idea of a civil right, Duke, and I spoke about human rights the last show I did, but civil rights are rights that a government gives. In our country, we have God-given rights.
Yeah, so that's a mistake.
That's an issue right there. But Martin Luther King became sort of the face of the civil rights movement. And there's a lot of issues with Mr. King, Reverend King. First off, his doctoral thesis was plagiarized. He was a horrible womanizer. Now, we're all sinners saved by grace, but it wasn't just a casual or, you know, an act of, I don't know, passion. And then he repented of it. Never did, as far as we know. And also, he collaborated not just with leftists, but with known communists. So discuss that a little bit.
Well, yeah, this is the hypocrisy. We've been told by the same leftists who are revering Martin Luther King and uncritically reviewing Martin Luther King. In other words, we have, to use a word from the left, we have whitewashed Dr. King. We have made him not human. We've turned him into a kind of a saint. The same people who want to ignore his womanizing, and by definition, then the mistreatment of his wife, the cheating, and also want to ignore the fact that he was a plagiarist, and also want to ignore the fact that he was a communist at the end of his life. And one you didn't mention, and we have credible evidence from an FBI document that he was in a room when another black pastor raped multiple women. And his response, according to the information that we have, was to laugh about the rape. So this is even more serious than that. Put it this way. If that kind of evidence existed for any other white figure in Western culture, it would be enough to get them canceled. But we don't even mention it when it comes to Reverend King. And so to me, it's the hypocrisy. Societies and countries, nations survive on their mythology. Let me explain that real quick. If you don't believe in your country won't last. If you don't believe in the virtue of what you are, then it's going to change and be ruined. We all have mythology. I'll give you an example. We know that George Washington probably never did chop down a cherry tree and then admit to it. But that story, however mythic it says something about Washington. What a remarkable, honest, reliable Christian man was. The record shows that. So every country survives on its mythology. What the left is doing and what socialist communists do is they attack the mythologies of non-socialist countries, and they do exactly this. They poison them. Then they replace the mythology of liberty and republicanism and all the things that Christianity, all the things that the founders stood for, they replace it with their own myths. And Martin Luther King is one of those myths. He is a flawed human being. He has engaged in behavior that we would immediately use to cancel a founding father. But they whitewash that, and they elevate these people to the level of saints. And so the new mythology takes over. And again, I repeat that to the degree that they're successful at that is the degree to which this country changes. Think about this broadly. I mean, the Constitution, the founding fathers, they're all on the way out. The flag is a disaster. We have to, again, we have to rewrite the Constitution. All that now is what kids are learning from kindergarten all the way through high school. Two generations of this. Already, people under the age of 30 already believe most of that. Meanwhile, the lies of the left, right, it never hurts them. Not just Martin Luther King. Margaret Sanger was an actual racist eugenicist. She was the founder of Planned Parenthood. If she were white and conservative and believed what she believed, Planned Parenthood would be out of business. But it's not.
Let me interject something too. In fact, I've just started the project to write a book of the Clarence Gamble and Margaret Sanger papers, of which I researched. Nice. But Martin Luther King was the first recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award. I think it was in 1966. She died, I think, in 65, and it was the first annual award. And you can actually, don't take it from me, go right online and just put it in a search engine. Martin Luther King's speech. And so people will say, well, he didn't know. Well, you know, he's supposed to be a PhD. And by the way, he didn't get his PhD in economics. He was a clergyman. I thought we had separation. The left talks about separation of church and state, yet they elevate and he's the only American today. Now, George Washington's birthday is still officially known as, but it's now called President's Day. So he's the only American, a U.S. citizen, that has been given his own day. And I also want to point out, too, that there's an FBI file against him. Back in the 70s, 75, I think it was, his supporters said, destroy the file. And by the way, I know that J. Edgar Hoover is supposed to be this evil, horrible man. He got the permission from Robert Kennedy, a Democrat, John Kennedy's brother, Attorney General. So he got permission to do this from Kennedy. And the Kennedys even told King to get rid of these communists. You know, it's embarrassment. You get rid of them. So that file was sealed, and it's supposed to be opened, I think, in 2026. So it should be very interesting that if it is opened and how much. And what really troubles me, I expect the left to tell the lies or promote the agenda, but I see so many conservatives. And I think they're people of goodwill, and we all should be people of goodwill. And I think Coretta King, the niece, who's a wonderful lady, King's niece. She's a devout pro-lifer. She was in the movie Roe v. Wade. She played Dr. Mildred Jefferson's mother. She's a delightful woman, and you know, I don't want to criticize her whatsoever. She's a fine person, but a lot of people of goodwill seem to have adopted King as some kind of conservative individual. And that's simply not true. I wish it were true.
Well, I bet you, regardless who's president, when that dossier is up for public viewing, Republican or Democrat, I promise you, you're not going to see that file. Mm-hmm. Because again, the mythology, both for the typical rhino and the progressive, they will not let what they're doing to other American patriots, they will not do it to their chosen ones. And so, again, you're writing about Margaret Sanger. He won that award, King, the first recipient. And if Margaret Sanger of the 1940s had her way, he never would have been born. He'd have been boarded away. This is the problem. And so the history of this country 200 years ago is very different than the 1960s. 200 years ago, the founding fathers were 200 years ahead of their time. In the 1960s, we were actually looking backwards. We were going backwards, not forward in terms of the way we were doing things. We were unmaking freedom. We were compromising the republic. We were doing all sorts of things that you see today that are being done by people like Biden and Obama to undermine, to morph us into a democracy rather than a republic. Most kids believe we're a democracy. So the founding fathers, we understand that in their day, there were horrors that were inherited. This is not to excuse them, but it is to point out that in the midst of the world in 1776, I tell this to my students all the time, in 1776, 85% of the world's population lived under some kind of slavery, chattel slavery, indentured servitude. Mm-hmm. Very few people were liberated. When my kids hear this, who they believe only Americans had slaves, what the founding fathers did was 200 years ahead of the time. They created the first document in human history that gave power to the people and not government. That deserves to be celebrated today. Meanwhile, a contemporary man, King, philandering, adultery, possible participation in what was apparently a gang rape, communist flirtation. There's less excuse for that for Dr. King than there was any of that stuff for the founding fathers.
That's correct. And I know that so I just made a posting and somebody said, well, it was either the peaceful way or Malcolm X's way. But they kind of work together. It's almost like, hey, if you don't do it my way, then we're going to have to revert to violence. And interesting that there was a book published by Western Islands. It's no longer called Western Islands, but it was a publication by the John Birch Society called It's Very Simple, the True Story of Civil Rights. In fact, I had about 15 copies and being gobbled up on Amazon pretty quickly. So the word's getting out on that. And I do have a PDF version. If anybody would like one, I'll just get a hold of me through our Facebook page or our website, campconstitution.net. And we'll send you a free PDF version. But Martin Luther King made no bones about his goal. He said that he said this in the April 1965 Saturday Evening Post, that his goal was to get his people out in the streets and they get white racists to commit acts of violence against them. And then it would get national media attention and people of goodwill will demand federal remediation, federal legislation to prevent these kinds of things. So everything he did was designed to increase the power of the federal government.
You know, I mean, and having said that, I agree with everything you've said. I still think when you consider the Black Panthers, when you consider Malcolm X, the one thing, let's be very, very blunt, the one thing that almost everybody knows about Martin Luther King is the I Have a Dream speech. That is his legacy. And, you know, to show you, I mean, by completely underscoring what you just said, in that speech, he said something that I think was very Christian, and that's something that would get him kicked out of the Democrat Progressive Party today. He said,
"Absolutely, yeah.
I want my children judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin." However badly he behaved as a community activist, and he did a lot of the things you said, all of them. Nevertheless, that's the main thing for which he is remembered. And that is certainly superior and so much better than what all the other race baiters of the day were doing, that would get him kicked out of the Democrat Party today. So in that sense, of all of those guys, he is the one perhaps that we could justly hold up over the others, but not at the expense of telling the truth about him. And the funny thing is,
it is a beautiful speech. Okay. And I learned, and I should have known this, I learned through my new friend, Vince Ellison, who wrote a book about, you should have him on your show at some point. He said Stanley Levinson wrote that speech to a communist.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Communists, it's like the devil knows the Bible better than most Christians. So communists know how to pull the strings, how to pull the emotional strings.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I've always made the argument to my university kids, besides being the director of Freedom Project, you mentioned I'm a tenured professor of English. I make this point to my kids all the time that socialism and communism, both of all that, and fascism too, for that matter, which are really rooted in atheism, they have never been able to out-argue Christianity. They can't do it. Christianity is the kryptonite of those worldviews. So they figured it out. Rather than trying to remove and or defeat Christianity, what they've done very successfully is undermine it. They've infiltrated it. They have they brought in the 60s, they were doing this with liberation theology. We now have a Marxist pope. And we have a pope now who grew up in the fever swamps of Latin American Marxism. He went to the seminaries during liberation theology, which is just Marxism applied to Christian scripture. And then now he's the pope. And so when people wonder why Pope Francis is so rabidly unchristian, this is why. He is really, by formation, much more of a Marxist than he is a Christian. And he conflates the aims of Christianity and Marxist very easily. One example, Hal, he's allowing the communist Chinese, he's defending the communist Chinese. Mm-hmm. He's not saying a word about the concentration camps with the Uyghur Muslims in it. And he's allowing the Chinese government, of all people, to decide who will and will not become bishops and cardinals. To that end, he's basically sold Roman Catholicism to the Chinese communists.
And by the way, you happen to be a Catholic, so you could say this, right?
Well, I was raised Catholic. I mean, over the last 10, 20 years, I can no longer divorce the ideology of the beliefs of the church from the behavior of its clerics. I do not consider myself to be a practicing Catholic at the moment, no.
Anyway, we're, boy, we could go on for another 2 or 3 hours, so just getting warmed up, but we try to get the show under 30 minutes. So just wrap it up. Where can people learn more about you and your important work?
FPE USA, Freedom Project Academy, FPEUSA.org. You can get all kinds of information. I do have a weekly show. It's called the Dr. Duke Show. It's available. We have a Freedom Project app, Freedom Project, that's one word, Freedom Project Academy app. You can download that app anywhere you can get free apps, and we can send you, you can access for free the Dr. Duke Show. We do 20 different shows a week here at Freedom Project about liberty, about constitutional values, and about Christianity. 20 different shows every single week. All of that would be available to you for free. If you want it, just download the app.
All right. Well, you've been listening to the Camp Constitution Report on catchingfire.net. And until next week, may God richly bless you.